the Lord's Church in a communist country. I live in Yugoslavia and I work with the church in Zagreb, so I can up-to-date you with that, but I would like to put more light into possible problems and obstacles that we have in our work, or maybe opportunities that we have working in a communist country. We shouldn't look to everything in a negative light. Communist world is complex, complicated, sometimes confusing world to live, but if you were born there, as I was, you somehow get adjusted to that and know how to live with it. And my idea when I became a Christian was that wherever God puts you, if you're a Christian, it has to be good because God wants it that way. So I don't think about Yugoslavia being nothing less and nothing more but my homeland. And I believe that as a Christian in Yugoslavia, there is a future. And as I already mentioned in one of my classes, I believe that one of these days my government will see that it's better for them to have more people Christians than more people non-Christians. Maybe they will never agree to that, but I believe that they will come to some conclusions that we are different than other religious groups, that we are different in a sense that we bring more hope to people, that we bring more security, that Christians are people who are more dependable, that there is less crime among Christians, less lies and all these things that they have to face in the society among their own people. The Lord's Church in Yugoslavia is fairly new. I would not like to state that before 1969 there were no Christians in Yugoslavia. That wouldn't be fair. I wouldn't even like to say that people that I know and people that worship with the church in Zagreb or church in Belgrade and some individuals are the only Christians in Yugoslavia. That wouldn't be fair. We are not here to bring the statistics. We are here to know that there are some people that we know that are worshiping with us. Maybe some others are there too. And the Lord is the only one who is responsible and who knows how many Christians there are in Yugoslavia. We have started some 20 years ago with university students. It was not an accident. It was God's planning. And I believe it was good. Because university students are people who are ready to accept some new ideas, who are ready to change their lives, and they are eager to know more about new things. Two couples that came to Yugoslavia back in 1969, David and Sandy Gatewood and Bud and Beverly Pickle, they enrolled at the University of Zagreb, and they first thing that they have done was to study the language. It happened so that was the year when I got a job at the University of Zagreb, so they became my students, and not only that, I taught them the language of Yugoslavia, Serbo-Croatian language, but in return they taught me about Jesus, and I am very thankful to them for doing that. That was the purpose for that trip. I didn't know it at the very beginning. I thought I would help them to pull them out of the darkness, of religious darkness of the ages, but they somehow convinced me that I was in the darkness. And the idea that started from the very beginning was, if a person is a Christian, that doesn't mean that his only responsibility is to show up in the church every Sunday and maybe Wednesday evening and maybe do this and that when he has free time, but to give all your life to Jesus. Maybe it sounds good, but when you're born, when you live in a communist country, sometimes it's hard to do. To be a Christian in Yugoslavia is not a positive thing. There are so many people that would think that you're a little bit crazy, that there's something wrong with you, that there must be some other motives but the faith for for your change. So it takes time. It takes a long time to establish some sort of credentials with people, especially with immediate family. My mother still thinks that I'm a little crazy to give up the position of a professor at the University of Zagreb and to work with a small group of people. But I think that my father is coming to the conclusion that that was good, because he can see changes in me, he can see changes in my family, he can see my children, and he can see very many positive things. And I believe that this is the reason why lately he is almost a regular visitor to our church. I hope the same for my mother. So one thing is that we have to keep in mind that to become a Christian involves paying a certain price, sometimes higher than a person thinks before he made a decision. And I believe that is good, because of all people that I know, most of them are now Christians, but not only Christians in names, but they are very active co-workers in Zagreb team and some of them in Belgrade team. Those are people who are facing many problems, not only with their families, but in the places where they live, where they work. People will not understand them, but as I said, it requires time to show that to be a Christian means to be a better person. The church in Zagreb became legally recognized in 1985. Till that time, we were meeting in homes, and I believe that that was a period that we needed very much. Maybe if somebody would say, well, let's buy a property for that group 15 years ago, we wouldn't be mature enough to move into those facilities and be what we really need to be. We have grown up as a family in the Lord, knowing how to meet together, how to live together. Every Sunday, after our worship service in one of our living rooms in different homes, we would eat together and we would spend the entire day together. So in 1985, when we moved to our new meeting place, we just continued the same thing, the same principle in our new church building. We just thought that if we would remove some of these things, that we might lose some of the essential qualities of a Christian life. So now, if you would come to the church in Zagreb on Sundays, be prepared not only to listen to the sermon and sing with your brothers and sisters and break bread and pray together, but be prepared to eat with your brothers and sisters. Everybody bring some food and we just eat together. And it's interesting that there are several religious groups in Zagreb, different ones, that we are becoming known among them, not because we have a special or a particular approach to the scripture, that we do some things they don't do and we don't do things that they do, but people come and say, we have heard you love each other. And I say, praise God that they know us for that. Because that's a quality that will lead them to something more essential, and they would maybe one of these days start to ask questions about not their doctrine, but about their life, about why they do things and why they don't live like those people in the other place as us. Another great news that I'm bringing from Yugoslavia is the church in Belgrade. Several years ago, we just had one group in Zagreb. We became legally recognized, but the church in Belgrade is something new and something very, very exciting. Several families from Lubbock, graduates of Sons and Preaching School, moved to Belgrade 5 years ago, and they started new work. They knew it's going to be hard. They knew it's going to require more than maybe they were ready to. But they sacrificially built a circle of good contacts. And now they have a nice group of Christians there, people from Serbia, people from Belgrade. And lately they have found that there is an old evangelical reformed church building right downtown Belgrade, a 2 million city. And they approached the pastor of that church and they said, if you allow us, we would like to start meeting in your facilities and pay for that. So the man said, fine, because we don't have many believers in our church. We are meeting only once a month. The Evangelical Reformed Church was rather strong before the World War II, consisted mostly of Germans, and after World War II, after communists came to Yugoslavia, they just, most of them, left the country and left the church building behind. So there are many good chances that the church in Belgrade not only will be renting that place, but they might become the only group meeting in that place. And this is another proof how God works in a miraculous ways. Nobody would ever think that a church in Zagreb would have a meeting place in a center of the city, over a million people city, and a church in Belgrade would have the same. But this is the proof that God is behind our efforts, and this is very encouraging. Another thing we knew from the very beginning, that some of the methods and some approaches that maybe are effective in this country, we cannot use in Yugoslavia. Maybe it is effective here to pass literature brochures, knock doors, but that all is against the law in Yugoslavia. You are not supposed to do that. If you do that, you might get in trouble. So how to spread the gospel without going out? We knew that we need to go out. This is what God told us to do. And then we found out that there is a radio. Radio is a great thing. But we could not have a radio program broadcast within Yugoslavia. So we found a radio station outside of Yugoslavia that was willing to broadcast radio programs to Yugoslavia, found a way how to receive our mails outside of Yugoslavia, and that's how we started. In these 6 years of the radio efforts for Yugoslavia, we have get in touch with more than 200 families. I'm not counting those that have just written once, have made many personal contacts. People are asking for the Bibles. People are asking for Bible correspondence course. And an interesting thing happened. If you start a radio program in this country, maybe it's not that complicated. You start a radio program and you go to the library and say, well, this Bible correspondence course is good. Well, maybe you can send that. And then you say, well, these books are good. And you say, these Bibles are good. But in Yugoslavia, we just didn't have all that material. So we had to either translate or write some of the things for the use of the radio program. That enabled us to make all our people very, very active. And I think that a church that's growing, it's the church where everybody knows that he has to do something. If he is not doing his part or her part of the work, it's not going to work. The principle of every soul is not only precious soul, as we always say, but every soul is needed, is the principle that helps us in the Lord's work tremendously. Another thing is, as I stated before, that the Lord's work was initiated among university students. So what we are doing now is trying to reach more university students. University students are people who are educated, so they are not only ready to read for themselves, but they are, most of them, ready to teach others. So using the principle that if the government puts lots of money in their education, so we should get some benefit out of their education. Another thing is that people who later on get their university degrees, they would one of these days get some positions. And although gospel is for everybody, I'm sure that every church in this country is very proud to have some doctors, some dentists, some engineers, so some people with high education. There are people who will give a good name to the church. What people in Eastern Europe are blaming Christians for very often is that Christians are primitive people, uneducated people. They believe in things that don't exist. And when you say, well, if you think so, I don't understand why we in the church have several engineers and several doctors. They believe in God too. They say, well, maybe there's something wrong with me. So that's a thing that we have to use, and we've been using very, very effectively. A government in Yugoslavia that is a communist, atheistic-oriented government is tolerating religion. Lenin once said that you cannot extinguish religion by force. You just let it die. It'll die a natural death. And the governments of Eastern Europe are waiting for that moment that religion will die. But they don't see that. Religion will not die because communism, dialectic materialism, is not bringing something important, something valuable to people. People cannot live on these principles. And many governments are surprised to see that little churches, some old churches, are bigger and bigger, and they try to find out why. Last month, the month of January, we had an interesting visitor to our church in Zagreb. It was the lady that introduced herself as a sociologist. She said that she is working on one of the research programs, and she would like to know more about religious groups. She asked whether she could just participate or stay, be present at all our church activities. We said, that's fine, fine with us, just come here and sit and listen. And during the worship service and Bible studies, she was making notes. I thought she was making notes about what she heard, but she was making some other notes. We have a young man whose father is a policeman in the church. He's coming regularly there, and when his father found out about that, he told me, I like that my son is going there. I cannot go because I'm a member of the Communist Party, but I like that my son goes there because I know that he's going to hear good things. So he told me confidentially that that lady is not a sociologist, that lady is from the police, and she wants to find out why all those people are coming to the church. What brings them over there? And several days before I came over here to the United States, I had a visit with her, and I told her, well, I know a little bit more than you think about you. I would like to know, what did you find out? And she said, I'm confused. All I have heard here, all I have seen here, is entirely different than I expected. I thought I would find a bunch of fanatics. I would find people who don't know how to read and write. And here, I listen to some good quality preaching, I listen to some nice singing, I see people that love each other, that are good friends, and I don't know whether it is safe for me to stay too long with you. So I believe that there is a tremendous potentials for us, that we can be there, that we can just be what the Lord wanted us to be, the light to this world. Not just in words, but in everything that is happening there. The strength of the Lord's Church in Yugoslavia is in Yugoslavian Christians. and we should be aware of that. We know that it is wonderful. It's wonderful for me. I tell you, I wish that all of brothers and sisters from Zagreb congregation could be with me now to see hundreds and hundreds of Christians here, to see this area, to see those buildings, to see that this is a college, a university, to see all these professors and to hear wonderful singing. But I believe that what we need to know in Yugoslavia is that if one of these days borders will close, that we need to know that we can go on. So we put a maximum of accent in teaching people to be Yugoslavian Christians. That is sometimes hard because Yugoslavia, again, as all other communist countries, is facing many economical problems. It is difficult to live in Yugoslavia. It is difficult to get some basic items. For many people, it is difficult to get an apartment, buy it, or buy a car, or simple things. A washing machine is about $1,000. To get a telephone connection is more than $1,000. And people are making an average of maybe between $300 and $400 a month. So it is difficult. And very often, a church that is related somehow to the West is attracting people who would like to see the church as a catalyst to come to the foreign country where they can live better. We are aware of that. Right now we have four Yugoslavs in this country studying in various Christian colleges and universities. One question that I always hear visiting some of these people and their friends, they would say, how do you know that they will ever come back to Yugoslavia? I say, I don't know. I can just pray that they will, but if they don't come, I think that'll be good for this country because that'll be one good Christian more. So I believe that whatever happens, it's good. We need more people educated in Bible, theology, and psychology, people who can, out of the experience of churches and the work of churches in this country, can pick up that was good, that was positive, and then bring back to Yugoslavia. It will take some time. I know about that. Connected with the radio program, we are facing a great demand of workers who are capable and willing to visit people and teach them more. Several weeks ago, a young man who is working with us in Yugoslavia, he is from Canada, but he was born in Yugoslavia, and he returned to Yugoslavia to work for the Lord. He is a graduate of ACU. His parents were very, very disappointed about his decision because they said, Andy, when you were 7, we brought you to this country so you can have better living. We don't want you to go back now. But he, as a Christian, understood that he is needed there. He made a trip to Dalmatia, visiting about 20 radio listeners that we have there. And he has found out some amazing things. He has found people that are not only interested in radio program, but they are organizing some of their neighbors, some of their friends to meet in their homes to listen to programs, to listen to tapes. They get Bible correspondence courses and they just work as a group. One man that he visited in Rijeka even turned his basement of his house into a place for people to meet. He doesn't know very much how to do it, but he wants to do it. So I believe that there are people throughout Yugoslavia that want to do something. It's a tremendous opportunity. And I even don't know whether we are mature enough to face that, whether we can help all of those people. But with God's help, I know that is possible. Another thing is that I believe is very important in our approach to the people, to have good quality literature. We very often fail in that, with good intentions, but we make mistakes. We always have to keep in mind cultural differences. There might be a good book, a good piece of literature in this country that has minimal value in our culture. Most of the material that we were using before was material that we have translated from English. Most of that material is excellent material, but people didn't like it. Sometimes they didn't like it because all examples, all names quoted were American names. They said, well, does that mean that only Americans know how to think? Do only Americans write? Do we have only American poets? And that's important to keep in consideration. I have translated several books, and I've tried to find books that would have a certain appeal to Yugoslavian people in frames of their culture. I've translated a book by Fritz Ridner, How to Be Christian Without Being Religious. It's a book, it's a modern commentary of a book of Romans with some funny illustrations. A book itself is not something big, but it's a provocative book. People in Yugoslavia are not used to see a religious book with such a cover page and such illustration inside. They are used to see religious books in black covers with golden letters, and that's it. So I thought that would be a good tool to reach some people, and it was. To some people, that if I would bring the book, he would read the cover and he would say, be a Christian without being religious. It doesn't make sense. I say, well, read a book. Another book that I found was really useful was C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity, the book written by a British author, the book that's more European than some of the books that we can find here. And most of the people that I have asked later on what they think, they said that was a great tool to understand some basic principles of Christian thought. It opened eyes to many of them that Christianity might be good even in the 20th century. And in another aspect, that Christianity is something that deals with your morality, with your life, with something that people think is just a part of themselves. We have problems very often with literature that would use illustrations that are of this culture. I had a book in my hand that wanted to teach a lesson based on American football and American baseball. People don't understand American football, they don't understand American baseball. So it is important to know what people can understand, what they can read. Some pieces of literature that we have here deal with problems that are in this country. We had a visitor several years ago that came to one of our summer Bible camps that was so involved in a charismatic movement in the United States that he wanted urgently to talk with people what a danger it is in charismatic movement. And we told him, hold on, people just don't know who Jesus was, people don't know basic things from the Bible. Just don't go into that direction. That's not a danger that they would understand. So it is important to know where the church stands in time over there in comparison with where it stands here. I believe that in Yugoslavia and most countries in Eastern Europe now, maybe even Europe as a whole, a church of Christ, the Lord's church, is somewhere where the Lord's church in this country was maybe 100, 150 years ago. It's in the beginning of the restoration movement. And what we need to do is to stimulate people to think restoration. that love the Lord, and the fact that they are today in a denominational world in Yugoslavia or in Poland is not because they want so, but it is, that's all that has been given to them. They were looking for the place where they read the Bible, and when an opportunity opened to them, they just went to that group, they joined the group, and they accepted some of the things without thinking too much. So I believe that if we can tell those people, this is fine, you are doing well, just go a little further, just go a little deeper, just learn to distinguish between the truth in the Bible and the truth in your tradition, that we can have many more friends, many people who are willing to change their lives. We have opportunities that it will be hard to list all of them right now and here. An opportunity that we shouldn't miss is the opportunity with children. Children are taught from the age of 5 years in Yugoslavia and most of the Eastern European countries, atheism. Children have no access to biblical teaching, and we want to do our part. One of the activities that we are very proud of is that in church in Zagreb, children have regular lessons taught by Christians, taught in a very good way, and some of the children that come for those Bible lessons come there alone. Their parents are not interested in coming to church, but they just say, well, if they like it, they will do it. Some time ago, a lady was bringing her granddaughter to the church, and she would bring the granddaughter and leave immediately. After several months, she decided she might stay. Now she's there too. So we believe that maybe sometimes children can help their parents, their grandmothers, their grandfathers to start coming to the church. I think that experience is well known to you in this country. So Yugoslavia in a communist country, church in Yugoslavia, church in a communist country, has opportunities, has possibilities. What we need to pray for, all of us together, and I hope we are doing that, is that the Lord will provide more workers, more people who will be willing to carry on the burden of the work. We know that we are limited in many aspects. We don't have that much freedom as you have in this country, but maybe in a way, this is better, because people in this country can easily get confused. When you turn on the TV, you can find several religious quote-unquote programs. You go anywhere, you'll get printed material, and maybe sometimes it's good that we have to be very careful what we do and how we present our truth. And I would like to ask you to continue praying for Yugoslavia and for the church in Yugoslavia. We have a freedom that no other Eastern European country can even think about. People from Czechoslovakia, people from Hungary and Poland think that Yugoslavia is a free world. They think that it would be great to live in that country. People from Romania are ready to take their air mattresses and swim over the Danube River to come to Yugoslavia. They think that this is a country where they can find freedom. So when we have a country like Yugoslavia, let us use the moment, let us use what we have now, the privileges of now. Some 20 years ago, a famous Russian poet, Nikolai Platonovich Ogarev, wrote a poem. I'll try to translate it literally from Russian, but it's a meaningful poem. It says, we are people, similar to slaves. We will never know how to rule with our lives. God, please disappear from our lives because we do not need you. You are our idol, and we just want to build our future ourselves. That's one of the atheistic oriented points. I want to see more people in Eastern Europe who will read poems that are different than that. God, we need you because we cannot live our lives alone. People in Eastern Europe are coming to that truth slowly. We can find more and more people that have lost all hopes. I made 3 trips to Poland in 4 months. And I can just make a comparison between Poland and Yugoslavia. Young people have no hopes for future. For most of them, the only hope is to buy a bottle of vodka and forget about reality. That is very, very sad. That's not the life on TV screens. That's alive today, now. There are many people wandering around looking for someone to touch them with a hand of love, and that is our responsibility. People over there need us Christians, need us on an everyday basis. I believe that we can do very much if we join hands as one family and just say, here we are, we want to help people in Eastern Europe. We want to help our brothers and sisters in Yugoslavia, in a country that has considerable religious freedom. Poland, a country that has several congregations legally recognized. Doors are opening for Hungary. We don't know what's going to happen in the Soviet Union. Maybe some changes will take place there. Are we ready for those changes? Or maybe we just prefer that Eastern Europe would remain just an area behind the Iron Curtain, an area that we can just cry about and say, oh, how difficult it is there. Or we can just say, yes, it's a challenge, a challenge that we can accept. We want to accept it because God loved us first. Thank you.
Ron, do you have any contact or know anything about the work in East
Germany? The last I've heard about East Germany is from Brother Reinhard Kallus, who was working with the congregation in Graz. Now he is working with another congregation in Germany. His brother still lives in East Germany. A year ago, he and his brother have baptized 20 people in one day. Rainer Kallus is very encouraged with the situation in East Germany, but he said, and I want to repeat that, please, for you to remember that no publicity should be given in this part of the world or anywhere in the West world about what's happening in East Germany. He said that the church is doing well there, people are searching for the truth, but if any publicity, any names, photographs, something like that will be publicized here, those people can have lots of problems. But as Rainer said, it's going real well.
Do you have access to material for the European mission work that's in Vienna?
Yes. Eastern European mission work is providing us with all that we need in a sense of literature. Eastern Europe Mission has provided 65,000 Bibles in last 3 years or so for the need to be distributed in Yugoslavia. Maybe 65,000 doesn't seem a great number, but a fact that I want to share with you is very impressive. All those Bibles are the only Bibles that were legally distributed in the country of Yugoslavia. So we are just thankful for EM to exist there in Vienna and to help us. EM helped us with songbooks for the church in Zagreb, and I hope that pretty soon there will be new songbooks for the church in Belgrade. The difference between church in Zagreb and church in Belgrade is that church in Zagreb is using Croatian language of Yugoslavia with Latinic alphabet, and the church in Belgrade is using Serbian with Cyrillic alphabet, an alphabet that's commonly known among people here as a Russian alphabet, something like that doesn't exist, but of course people know that. Yes?
I have late news from Brian Thomas, and he's already in the States and would be glad to visit any church or individuals that are interested in that program in East Germany.
Great.
He's doing very well, and he's encouraged, considerably by it. Those young people are very enthusiastic and pressing forward with their own single and
kingdom. Right.
Which is for the theory of the hours and in general room helping reach out. And anyone that's interested in it, I have a booth down there. I'm Lloyd Collier, who helps missionaries find churches and get the two together so they can go. Anyone that's interested in that phase of the work, leave your name and address with me or on the tab down in the tent by my stand on A8. It's the eighth table down from the right. And I'll have Reiner get in touch.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for sharing with us the exciting news. I know that there is a young couple in Austin studying with the Bible Institute there that plans to go to Hungary when they finish their education. And I believe that more people like them are needed. We need, and that's the greatest need, more people who would like to go and live in countries where they want to spread the gospel. This is an immediate need. I know it is hard. It is hard for people to accept the reality of life there. And I would like to urge you, elders and mission committees, to be sure before people go there to tell them it's going to be hard. Are you ready to do it? We've been having people coming over to Yugoslavia who were very, very disappointed. We had a couple who said after 7 days, I'm not used to banking system in Yugoslavia. When I go back home, it takes me only 5 minutes to do my banking. Here I need 2 hours. And I said, well, this is just not the country that you came from. It's just better accept it as it is. Another thing is deep emotional problems that I would like for people to know before they go. Everything is fine till everything goes smooth. For many people, that's a test, not as an individual. It's a test as a married couple. It's a test as a family. Some people have come to Eastern Europe to live there with small children. When the child would get sick or a wife would get pregnant, they were immediately thinking about their doctors back home. I don't think that's right, because that doesn't build credentials with people. If they think that you are just a visitor there, but you don't like their food, you don't like their doctors, you don't like their houses, you don't like their banks, they say, why did you come? We don't need you like that. Why didn't you stay over there at home? So we should help our young people to build an image that a missionary is not an American missionary who is there and he is like an ambassador. He will have his PX store and people will send care packages because he cannot live without Doritos or Dr. Pepper, but M&M's, yes. But that there are some other foods, there are some other papers to read even, some other books to read and some other activities to do. There are some people very unhappy because they cannot watch football on the TVs, but that's the way it is. If it's soccer, you just stick with soccer and try to find out that that's an interesting game too.
Do the denominations, I guess, have the same problems, face the same problems?
Oh, yes. They have basically the same problem, and I would say they even have sometimes more problems. Lately, in the city of Zagreb, Mormons are trying to begin their activities, and that's quite interesting. I cannot predict what's going to happen with them, but I just cannot see Mormons in Yugoslavia doing things as they are doing over here. I'm sure that the first two young men in black suits with tags "Elder" on bicycles try to go through Zagreb, that everybody would think that a circus came from America. So, but that's their problem. We shouldn't think about that. So there are all kinds of problems over there.
I noticed you spoke of having two languages there. Do you have an official language?
We have more than two. we have more than two. We have four languages of the nations of Yugoslavia and about 10 languages of national minorities. All of them are in the light of Yugoslavian constitution equal languages. That really makes Yugoslavia a real Tower of Babel, because we have that many radio programs and TV programs, but in a way that's good because our children are just pushed into a multilingual situation. A child, a 7-year-old child, is supposed to start with two languages immediately, and in third grade start with two alphabets. So when a child is 11 years old, he usually knows two languages and two alphabets. I think that there is nothing bad in knowing more languages and more alphabets. Yes. The best opportunities is to move as a student. You would be an ideal person to go there and find a field that you would like to study. Of course, first you would have to enroll in a language course, and after a year, then you can look for some universities and find out something for yourself. Most of the young people that we have in Yugoslavia, the Americans, are there with their student visas, some of them already 5 years, and they don't have any problems staying even longer if they visit classes at their universities. Yes, please.
Okay. Whoever first.
In Zagreb, there is a family of Ivan Tešić, Ivan and Ruth Tešić. They're working with me. They were supported by the Carbondale Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but I think they have a new supporting congregation somewhere in New Mexico. Roger Massey is working in Zagreb. He is supported by Austin Avenue Church in Brownwood, Texas. And Andy Bacic, a young man I told you about from Canada, and his wife, now she is from Florida, are working there too. And beside that, we have some native people that are working with us, either on part-time basis, some of them working part-time, but working full-time, in fact. In Belgrade, there are two families now. Pardon me? Kathy Harvey, yes, thank you very much. Kathy Harvey from Oregon, she's with us since May of 87. And in Belgrade, there are two families and several students that came through AIM program, and they are with the church in Belgrade.
Are there any plans to start a leadership training college in that country?
I think at the moment when we would have people who are capable of starting that we will have it. Right now, we just don't have it. There were people that asked us, since we don't have the best translation of the Bible, why shouldn't we just start translating the Bible? And I think that, you know, that's an ignorant question, because if just think, if you would have only the Bible in its original Hebrew and Greek, and if you would like to have an English Bible, we'll just say, well, we are 40 now, let's translate the Bible. It wouldn't work. That's one of our failures very often, one of the failures of our missionary programs. We say, well, he's a native of Yugoslavia, so he can translate that book. He might be a good native of Yugoslavia, but maybe his language is not that great. And that piece of literature is a document. That's not something that you can say, well, let's try it now in 1,000 copies, and later on when somebody comes, we'll do something better. Because people will remember, and they will say, well, you have done this some years ago, and now you have changed. Why did you change that? So always have in mind that whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we print, whatever we put on the radio, is going to be our ID, and we are going to be responsible for it.
You do, however, have at least two Yugoslavs that are currently studying, one in England and one in Vienna.
We have
maybe some others that are planning to come back to Yugoslavia.
We have three, and in fact we have four Yugoslavs in this country. One, Damir, who is studying with Northeastern Christian College in Villanova. Then we have Snežana. She is in Denver, Colorado. I don't know the name of her school.
Bell Valley.
And we have Sead in Oklahoma. Not Oklahoma Christian, but Oklahoma University, I think. And we have Misho in British Bible School in Corby, England. So there are four, to my knowledge, that are studying outside of Yugoslavia with intention to come and work with our people in Yugoslavia. Yes, please. I was in Warsaw working as a guest professor at the university from 1971 through 1979, for 8 years almost, with 1 year being absent for the army service in Yugoslavia. That was the beginning of my Christian life, because that was the year 1971 that I was baptized. And church in Warsaw became my home congregation. That was the time when the church in Warsaw was underground church. And I was really happy that I could give my contribution in a sense of helping wherever I was able to. My task at that time was to work with young people. I'm still in contact with the Polish work. I'm making frequent trips whenever I can. I'm corresponding with about 200 people from Poland, sending them once a month translations of some of my sermons that I deliver in a church in Zagreb. And I really don't know what my real contribution there is, but I can say that the church in Poland, the church in Poland, especially Warsaw, are deep in my heart, and I just feel like Poland is my second homeland. My second son was born in Poland, and that's another thing that I just have a living souvenir there from Poland. And I believe that the church in Poland is going to do really, really well in the future. It's, many things are taking place now that are very, very encouraging. Any more questions? Well, thank you again. Thank you.
As a self-appointed spokesman for this group, let me say how much we love and appreciate.